So my grandmother used to make the best chocolate cake with chocolate frosting. It was her absolute favorite thing to make. Really moist, dark chocolate cake with this thick, sweet chocolate frosting. And more than once after a Sunday dinner, Nana always had Sunday dinner after church, I can remember my dad asking my mom on the way home, "Doesn't your mother bake anything besides chocolate cake?" Because it was Nana's favorite, but it was not my father's. Now, I personally prefer yellow cake with chocolate frosting. Dad would have been okay with that because he could have scraped the chocolate frosting off. But once the cocoa powder's in the cake, it's in there for good. You can't separate the chocolate out of the cake batter any more than you could take out the eggs or the flour. It's good and mixed, and nothing can separate them one from another. Now, my Nana thought that was for the best. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's amazing good news, isn't it? Nothing, says Paul, not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. If Paul were writing today, he might have said it a little differently. He might have said, "Neither COVID-19, nor wearing masks, nor protesting injustice, nor defunding the police, neither red states nor blue states, neither opening schools nor closing schools, neither voting in person nor voting by absentee ballot, neither Confederate flags nor patriotic displays can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, because nothing separates us from God." Every one of us, no matter our opinions, no matter our education, no matter our occupation, no matter the size of our house or of our bank account, is any more or any less a child of God. Nothing can sever that connection. What God has given to us, which is to say that Holy Spirit, no one can take away. And God, who always desires to bring good to God's children, is not going to withdraw the gift of the Holy Spirit. So how could we? How could we look at a neighbor and think that they are less worthy of God's gift, or imagine that God might have taken away that gift just because we don't agree with them? Because the minute we've decided that our opinion is right, and therefore our opinion must be God's opinion, and their opinion, because it's not God's opinion, must be wrong, when we've done that, we've done what Adam and Eve did in the very beginning. We have chosen to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've made ourselves God, and we have sat in judgment of the other. Remember that when nothing can separate us from God, nothing can separate that other person from God either. Like the cocoa in the chocolate cake, God is with us. We are in God. God is in us. God's in that other person too. And maybe God's not always visible to us. Come on, neither are the eggs in the chocolate cake batter. But without the eggs, the cake wouldn't hold together. So maybe we just need to open our eyes. Maybe that different person is also generous with the time they give to the SPCA. Maybe that person coaches a soccer team, pouring her heart into teaching those kids. Maybe that person gives generously to support the food pantry. Maybe they babysit their neighbor's children for free because that single parent is an essential worker. Maybe there's more God in them than you are able to see when you let your opinions, your judgments, come between you and God. It's not really any different for us than it was for the Apostle Paul. Disaster, adversity, misfortune, unprecedented times, it all makes it tough for us to spot God through the fog of chaos and profound sorrow. Steeped as Paul was in religious history, Paul could also recite a litany of all the times in that history when God's people were reminded to see God in their midst, that their circumstance didn't separate them from God's love and God's grace. Remember Moses? Moses spotted God in a burning bush. And then the Israelites who went with him saw God in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, leading them and protecting them. The prophet Elijah spied God on a mountaintop. Hannah saw God through a veil of tears and prayers. King Nebuchadnezzar saw God in a fiery furnace. A bunch of smelly sheep herders and a trio of foreigners saw God in a manger. And still others spotted God calming a storm, healing a leper, and talking about mustard seeds and hidden treasures and nets teeming with fish. So where do you see God? Some might say they saw God in John Lewis, who devoted his life to fighting for racial and social justice. And maybe they see God at work in Fairfax, Virginia, where this week the school board has voted to rename Robert E. Lee High School for the distinguished Mr. Lewis. Some might recognize God's voice in a teenager from Sweden named Greta Thunberg, who's risen to international attention these last 2 years, speaking out about climate change and pleading with world leaders to listen to science and to act to protect the future of the planet. Some might see God in Stacey Haynes at the Susquehanna SPCA, in Julia Perdue at the Cooperstown Food Pantry, Sandy Tollerton managing Schuyler Lake's Food Pantry. I saw God last week working through a woman not from this community who stopped in at Fly Creek Church on the only day I happened to be in the office because she had a case of food donations and was looking for a church that could distribute it. And God is also in the nurse who is checking temperatures and face masks at the entry to Bassett Hospital every day, and in the teachers and in the administrators and in all the school staff who are struggling to make plans for this fall. And God is here. God is here in this sanctuary. God is here in this internet connection between us and among us. And God is in you. And God is in you. And God is in me. And everyone we meet, like the eggs and the flour and the cocoa powder and the chocolate cake batter, God is inseparably present with each one of us. We are never alone. And we are never beyond God's reach. The Holy Spirit is a living, breathing, moving gift of connection to God and to one another. The Holy Spirit is a sustaining gift, keeping us connected to the source of our life and our breath, interceding for us on occasions when we might become disconnected. And the Holy Spirit is an empowering gift, one that propels us into the world to share a message of love and grace. The Holy Spirit working in us, bringing color and flavor and life to the world through us. Amen.